fun.
Right.
I can move forward. Thank you for that. The next question. How do you help clients who are struggling with anxiety, depression, and other common mental health issues?
The two main ones that I do work with is anxiety and depression. Obviously, as we work together, other ones come up, but anxiety and depression, sometimes ADHD, are the three most common types of client or the three most common mental health disorders that the clients I work with are experiencing. When it comes to anxiety, I really encourage clients to identify, well, with both anxiety and depression, but I guess more so with anxiety, what is triggering the anxiousness? Typically, I like to educate clients that anxiety or anxiousness and panic attacks are usually triggered by the loss of control or the perception that you will lose control. And so when, or in other cases, some type of perceived threat, again, the perception of a threat, whether it's rational or irrational. So once I educate them and I'm like, well, how does this apply to you and your anxiety? Most cases with most of the clients that I work with, it's a level of control. They don't have control over this. I can't control how my kid is going to get to school. I can't, they feel like they don't have control, and it starts to get very, they start, it triggers all of those thoughts that come with anxiety. So really helping them to, one, identify their triggers, and then try to get in the mode of recognizing what I do have control over and what I don't have control over. A very simple coping skill for anxiety when that is triggered by control is a if-then statement. If this happens, then I'll do. And it gives the perception, it gives them control back. It's because it's a plan. The best way to control something that you feel like you don't have control over is to create a plan. So, no, you might not have control over if you can get your son to basketball practice by 6, knowing you get off at 5:30. But if you don't, then what? Then, you create that plan. If I don't get off to get him, if I don't get off by 5 to get him to practice by 6, then I will call his dad or the coach or whatever. And it's like, oh, okay, now I have control over that situation.
So you made me think of something while you were talking. How do you feel social media plays into that?
Ooh, that's a soapbox in itself. I definitely think it contributes to that. And a lot of times, well, not a lot of times, oftentimes I will recommend, and I will even do it with my clients. I'll say, you know what? I think it's time for us to get off of social media. Let's do 3 days or a 5 day fast or, a 10 day fast. And sometimes it's hard for them. Sometimes it's hard for me, but because, I'm trying to create content, I'm trying to create these resources. And so I need social, I don't need it, but I rely on social media to provide me with those, up to date, those hot topics. But I definitely think it contributes. I think it can definitely be a gift and a curse because you have this immediate access to what everybody else is doing. And especially it comes up more with the clients that I work with that are depressed because it's that comparison. Oh, I'm not doing enough because she's 32 and look where she is. Or, he's 35 and he's working his dream job and this is what I'm doing. So that component of comparison, I think, leads or can intensify the symptoms of depression specific, and it causes that internal conflict because you're not where you think you are. It makes you question or remember those thoughts that support that you're not enough. And so, I definitely think it plays a huge part.
So this is a big one because there's a lot of people out here who don't even know like what are the first steps to even finding therapy. Even in my journey, people didn't even know like there was different types of therapists out there and things of that nature. So what advice do you have for people who are interested in seeking therapy or unsure where to even start?
So, because especially in the Black and Brown communities, it's church. Go to your pastor, go to your church, see if there is some component of therapy or mental health services or counseling services within the church. I try not to to turn people away from that, if that makes sense, because I know that it's so heavy. You know, you go to God, you don't go to people, you pray that away or you pray this away. And so if they come to me with that, you know, I'll tell them, well, have you tried your church? Luckily, I belong to a church, or I visit a church. Well, I belong to the church. I just don't go as often, but I belong to a church that has a counseling center, and the pastor is very, he advocates for mental health and going to therapy and things. He doesn't draw the line, but he makes it a collaboration. Like, yes, you can come and I can pray with you, but then I can also help you find a therapist to, you know, get some of the other stuff out. So that's one of the first things is there a counseling center or is there someone in the church that can help you with that? But if not, it is just a click away. You know, there are so many directories. There is Therapy for Black Girls that has a directory for specifically with Black therapists for Black women, Black and Brown women, women of color. In every state, you can filter in, you know, the symptoms that you're having, what you think you have, or what issues you have. It may be infidelity, it may be trauma, it may be depression or anxiety. So that's a good one. There's another directory, Psychology Today, very similar to Therapy for Black Girls. It's just not, it doesn't exclude any race or anything like the Therapy for Black Girls. There's clinicians of color. So there are so many directories. If you just go to the internet and say, I need a therapist or a therapist in this area. Another place that individuals can look is if you have insurance, you can look on the back of your insurance card, and there should be a portal or a directory that can send you there to look for all sorts of providers, doctors, therapists, chiropractors, dentists, or whatever that are specifically credentialed through your insurance. So you don't have to worry about finding a therapist that you may feel like you can connect with, and then that therapist doesn't take your insurance. So that's always a good place. And then if you are uninsured, or you don't, and you may find yourself paying out of pocket, there are even directories for that. One of the ones is Open Path Collective, and therapists who are on Open Path Collective offer services, therapeutic services at a reduced rate between $30 and $80, I believe. So the session will be no more than $80 for individuals who have to pay for therapy out of pocket. But also you can also go to your human resources if you are employed, and you can ask about an EAP program, employee assistance program, and they will. If there is one, it'll usually offer you so many sessions. So I'm on a few EAP panels, or I'm work with a few EAP companies. And so the ones I've worked with so far give like 6 to 12, sometimes even 18 free sessions.
Yeah, I want to piggyback off of EAP. That's actually how I even started my mental health journey. And when I was in it, it was 10 sessions free for the company I was with. And then it was my copay that it went to. And it was like $10 at the time. The company I'm with now, at one point, it was 20 sessions in the year.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, so now I think they backed it down to 15, but it was 20 because of the whole pandemic and everything, and they wanted to make sure people had enough access and had enough availability to speak to whoever they needed to without the, oh my God, I've missed, or I only have 10. It was, you have enough to cover you. So yeah, I thank you for all those resources. I didn't even know about the one, because I the pay scale one, that's amazing. A lot of people, the first thing they say is, I can't afford it. And it's so many ways and opportunities for us to access it. It's just, have you asked the question?
Right.
And
And
if
you make a very good point, because there are therapists, even more so now, because there is this increased awareness to mental health. There are therapists such as myself who takes a pay what you can. And so when you go to these directories, you may see in the provider's profile on their website, pay what you can plan. And basically it's, you know, you tell me what you can afford to pay. And, you know, different therapists will have their pay what you can plan set up differently. As for me, you know, if we agree on a rate, All I ask is that you put your card on file and that you set up for automatic payment. So every time we have a session, the payment that we have agreed on automatically comes out. And that's the gist of the pay what you can plan for me. Now, it may be different for other therapists, but it is basically, what can you afford to pay? And if I agree to it, then that is what you will pay for as long as you're in therapy.
That's so beautiful. I just love that mental health is being taken so much more serious now. Like, guys, we have a pandemic, not pandemic, an epidemic going on. And to have so many resources out there and available for everyone. It's just not a restriction to one culture, one race. It's everyone now has some type of access. And the biggest thing is, did you ask? Are you asking?
Absolutely.
So I have